Welcome to Laugh and Learn Pathology Edition. I'm Dr. Isabella Morgan, and today we're diving into a topic that's a little, well, skin deep. We're talking about scars and keloids, and trust me, it's more fascinating than it sounds. Did you know that your skin is the largest organ in your body? That's right, it's like the overachiever of the organ world.
Absolutely. And just like any good athlete, your skin has its own recovery process. It's like when you scrape your knee as a kid, your body's like, no problem, I got this. But sometimes it goes a bit overboard, right?
No kidding. I mean, I once had a scar from a cooking mishap that looked like a battle wound. I told everyone I was a culinary warrior, but really it was just me and a rogue knife. So what's the deal with these scars?
Great question, Liam. Scars are basically the body's way of patching up a wound, but sometimes it's like your fibroblasts, those little cells that help with healing, decide to throw a party and invite all their friends, and that's when you get keloids.
Right on. It's like they're trying to win a trophy for the biggest scar ever. But hey, before we get too deep into the science, let's share some of our own scar stories. Who wants to go first?
I'll jump in. I've got a classic one from my childhood. I was trying to impress my friends with my bike tricks. Big mistake. Ended up with a scar that looked like a lightning bolt on my arm. It's still there, a constant reminder of my daring days.
That's a memorable one, Liam. It sounds like a badge of honor. I've got a scar from a science experiment gone wrong. Let's just say, be careful with Bunsen burners.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. Let's keep this energy up as we dive deeper into the science behind these scars. Stay tuned.
All right, let's get into what's really going wrong when it comes to scars and keloids. So when your skin gets injured, it's like a construction site. Fibroblasts are the workers and collagen is the building material. But sometimes those fibroblasts get a little too enthusiastic and start overbuilding.
Right on. It's like they're trying to win a gold medal in construction. Instead of a neat little patch, you end up with a massive raised scar that's basically saying, look at me.
Not textbook, but technically not wrong. I mean, it's like the fibroblasts are having a party and they forgot to send out the no excess invitation. So what causes this overreaction?
Great question, Liam. It often comes down to genetics and the type of injury. Some people are predisposed to keloids, while others just get normal scars. It's like a genetic lottery, but not the fun kind.
Exactly. And then there's the role of inflammation. When you get hurt, your body sends in the troops, white blood cells and all that. But if that inflammation sticks around too long, it can lead to excessive fibroblast activity. It's like the cleanup crew just won't leave the party.
So, if I'm understanding this right, it's not just about the injury itself, but how your body reacts to it. Like, some folks might just get a little scratch, while others get a full-blown construction zone.
Spot on, Liam. And this is where it gets really interesting. The balance between healing and excessive scarring is delicate. It's like a tightrope walk, too much collagen, and you're in keloid territory. Too little, and you're left with a weak scar. It's a real balancing act.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. Understanding this helps us figure out the best ways to manage and treat these scars. So, what's next on our journey through the skin?
So, let's talk about how the body reacts when we get injured. It's quite the intricate dance, really. First up is inflammation. Think of it as the body's emergency response team. When you get a cut or scrape, those little white blood cells rush to the scene like paramedics on a mission.
Right on! They're the first responders, but they can get a bit overzealous. It's like they're throwing a party instead of just cleaning up. Too much inflammation can lead to that excessive scarring we talked about earlier. It's like trying to fix a pothole with a mountain of asphalt.
No kidding. It's like they're saying, let's make this scar the biggest and best it can be. But what's next after the inflammation?
Great question. After inflammation, the body moves into the tissue remodeling phase. This is where collagen comes into play. It's like the construction crew comes in to build the new tissue. They need to get it just right, or else you end up with a keloid instead of a nice, smooth scar.
Speaking of construction, if the fibroblasts are the workers, then collagen is the building material. If they don't follow the blueprints, it can lead to some pretty wild outcomes.
And that's where O'Connor's Law comes in. If it's not textbook, it's probably a keloid, but really, how does the body know when to stop building?
That's the million-dollar question. The body has feedback mechanisms, but sometimes they malfunction. It's like the construction crew gets a little too excited and keeps building even when the job is done.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. Understanding these phases helps us figure out how to manage healing effectively. So what's next on our journey?
All right, let's dive into some clinical clues and confusions surrounding scars and keloids. First off, it's crucial to recognize the difference between normal scars and keloids. A normal scar is usually flat and fades over time, while a keloid is like that overzealous friend who just won't stop talking. It's raised and can continue to grow beyond the original injury site.
Spot on. It's like the keloid is trying to steal the spotlight at a party. But here's the kicker. Keloids can happen even after minor injuries. I mean, who knew a simple ear piercing could lead to a keloid?
No kidding. It's like a surprise party that no one wanted, but what about the misconceptions? I've heard people think that keloids are contagious. Is that true?
Great question. Keloids are not contagious at all. They're just the results of your body's unique healing response. It's like your body's way of saying, I'm going to do this my way.
And that can lead to some confusion in clinical practice. Sometimes patients might come in worried about their scars, thinking they're something more serious. It's essential to reassure them and explain the differences clearly. It's all about education.
Speaking of education, what are some memorable tips for identifying keloids in practice?
One key tip is to look for the shiny, smooth surface of a keloid. They often have a darker color than the surrounding skin and can be itchy or painful. If it's growing and looks like it's taking over, it's probably a keloid.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. Understanding these clinical clues can really help in providing the right care. So, what's next on our journey?
So, how do we actually find out if someone has a keloid or just a regular scar? It starts with a thorough physical examination. We look at the scar's appearance, size, and whether it's raised or discolored. It's like being a detective. Each scar tells a story.
Right on. And sometimes it's not just about what we see. We might need to ask the patient about their history too. Have they had previous surgeries? Any family history of keloids? It's like piecing together a puzzle.
No kidding. And let's not forget about imaging techniques. Sometimes we might use ultrasound to get a better look at what's going on beneath the surface. It's like giving the scar a little X-ray vision.
Exactly. Imaging can help us assess the depth of the scar and its relationship to surrounding tissues. It's crucial for planning any potential treatments. We want to make sure we're addressing the right issues.
And that's where understanding the biology behind these scars really comes into play. If we know how they form, we can tailor our treatment options better. It's like having the playbook for a game-winning strategy.
Speaking of strategies, what are some common treatments we might consider once we've diagnosed a keloid?
Great question. Treatments can range from corticosteroid injections to silicone sheets and even surgical removal in some cases. It's all about finding the right approach for each individual. After all, no two scars are the same.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. Understanding the diagnostic process helps us provide the best care possible. So, what's next on our journey?
All right, let's get weird. We've talked about the basics of scars and keloids, but there are some truly bizarre cases out there. For instance, have you heard about the person who developed a keloid after a tattoo? It's like their skin was saying, oh, you want art? Let's make it a masterpiece.
Right on. It's like their skin took the request a bit too literally. Tattoos can sometimes trigger keloid formation, especially in people who are already prone to them. It's a wild reminder that our bodies have their own unique responses.
No kidding. And speaking of unique responses, I once read about a guy who developed a keloid from a pimple. Can you imagine? It's like the pimple was saying, I'm not just a blemish, I'm a statement.
That's a perfect example of how unpredictable skin can be. It's fascinating and a bit alarming how something so minor can lead to such a dramatic outcome. It really highlights the need for awareness when it comes to skin health.
And let's not forget about the rare cases where keloids can form in unusual places, like the scalp or even the chest. It's like they have a mind of their own, choosing the most visible spots to make their grand entrance.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. If you think you're safe from keloids, think again. What are some other strange facts about scars we should know?
Well, did you know that some people can actually feel their scars? It's called neuropathic pain, and it can occur even after the skin has healed. It's like the nerves are still throwing a party long after the injury.
That's wild. It's a reminder that our bodies are complex, and healing isn't just about the surface. So, let's keep this energy going as we dive deeper into our next segment.
So, as we wrap up this episode, let's share our favorite takeaways. I think one of the biggest insights for me was how unique each person's healing process is. It's fascinating how something as simple as a cut can lead to such varied outcomes, from normal scars to keloids. It really emphasizes the importance of understanding individual differences in medicine.
Right on. For me, it's all about the role of fibroblasts. I mean, who knew these little cells were such overachievers? They're like the overzealous interns of the body, trying to fix everything, but sometimes going a bit overboard.
Not textbook, but technically not wrong. I loved how we explored some of the weird cases, too. It's a reminder that our bodies can surprise us in the most unexpected ways. Who would have thought a pimple could turn into a keloid?
Exactly, and the fact that tattoos can trigger keloids is something to keep in mind for anyone considering body art. It's not just about the design, it's also about how your skin might react.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. It's been a wild ride through the world of scars and keloids, but I think we've covered some solid ground. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to skin health.
So true. I hope our listeners take away not just the science, but also the humor in all of this. After all, who doesn't love a good scar story?
Agreed. Let's keep the conversation going and encourage everyone to share their own experiences. It's all part of learning and growing together. So, as we wrap up today's episode, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've learned. We've explored the fascinating world of scars and keloids, from the cellular mechanisms behind their formation to the quirky cases that keep us on our toes. It's been a journey through the intricacies of skin healing.
Right on. I think one of my favorite parts was the role of fibroblasts. Who knew they could be such overachievers? They're like the enthusiastic interns of the body, sometimes just a bit too eager.
Not textbook, but technically not wrong. And let's not forget the wild stories we shared, from keloids forming after tattoos to the unexpected surprises that come from minor injuries. It's a reminder that our bodies have a mind of their own.
Exactly. It's crucial for everyone to understand their own skin and how it might react. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to skin health.
And that, my friends, is a highlight reel for your body. We hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. Don't forget to share your own scar stories with us.
Absolutely. We love hearing from our listeners. So until next time, keep those questions coming and stay curious about your health.
Thanks for tuning in to Laugh and Learn Pathology Edition. We can't wait to bring you more fascinating topics in our next episode. Stay safe and take care of your skin.